what we need. And the only thing that we can find in this life that's going to help us is a total commitment to God. I mean, who would want a God that wasn't totally committed to them? Come on now. Who would want somebody to that you could call your Savior if He said, I may do something for you? Or I would do something, but in return. All God asks us in return is for us to make a commitment to Him. To tell Him that He can have full reign in our hearts. You know, salvation seems so complicated to some folks and to most of us before we ever call upon the Lord, because the enemy don't want us to find Christ as our personal Savior. How many remembers the hour that you got saved, or the time that you got saved? How many remembers the voices of confusion in your mind? The devil telling you one thing and the Lord pulling you another way. The devil, after you saying, I want the Lord, the devil saying, you can't live like that. I've often referred back to the night that I got saved and I stood at the back of the church house and the Lord speaking, excuse me, to my heart. I've often referred to it as the challenge that God is calling me and pulling me, but the devil telling me, you can't do this. You cannot do this. And as I begin to step forward in faith, you see, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You can't see God. I mean, verbally and visibly, we've never really seen God. We look around and see the creation of God. And we know without a shadow of a doubt that it had to be God that did all these great works in this world. It just didn't a big bang happen and all these things take place. It just didn't happen that way. It just didn't take place by a few atoms gathering and forming together and a few cells making some human being. It just didn't happen like that. There's too many evidences that something greater had taken place than all these other humanistic things have been spoken. And we know that the Bible says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. You know, to create something is to take something that is, there's nothing there. The Bible said that the earth was without form and void and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Lord spoke, literally spoke this world into existence. And we find that He made the light, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night, that we could sleep and that we could find ourselves in a division place that we knew from day to night. Amen. God knew all of the things that was going to happen before they have ever happened. You say, Brother Mike, can you explain God? No, I can't explain God. I'm going to be honest with you. There's been a lot of folks that's tried to explain God and made a mess out of it. The reason they've made a mess out of it, Danny, is because they explained their theory. And there's no theory to explain God, but He is from everlasting to everlasting. He has been from the ages of eons of the ages, and He will exist throughout the eternal portals. Amen. You will never be able to put a pin on something and say, now this is God. Amen. And this is where God evolved from. And this is how God started. But I want to go back to the night I got saved, that the devil said, you can't live like those people. You cannot serve God the way they serve God. You cannot worship God that way. You've never been used to these things. And you can't do these things. And I was raised around the house of the Lord. I knew about God, but yet I didn't know anything about God too. Amen. And then I went to the altars and gave my heart to the Lord and turned my life over to Christ. And on the way home, it's so strange. I mean, you know, before I even got out of the church parking lot, the enemy began to say things and begin to talk things and speak things. And I remember putting my hand on the door handle of my car, of the vehicle that I drove. And the devil immediately he began to speak to me and said, now how do you know that there even is a God? How do you know that God even exists? And, of course, I just begin to think, and we got to be careful. As young Christians, and even as older Christians, if we're not careful, the devil will play a game of pulling us into an area of thinking. You hear me? He'll play a game of pulling us into an area of confusion. Because when you begin to think, let me tell you something about you that you probably don't even know tonight. But when you begin to think, you are in trouble. You hear me? When we begin to process our thoughts, our feelings, the way that we are, the way that we be, amen, it leaves room for the enemy to open a door and a channel and to begin to walk through and place and touch thoughts here and touch thoughts there. I thought the other day as I seen a computer screen and this, it wasn't even no keyboard that it just touching different spots and different things was coming up and they'd touch another and right on the screen. And I thought in my mind, that's the way the devil does things. I mean, all we got to do is open up the door and he begins to channel thoughts through to us. And listen to me, the Bible said in one portion of Scripture, lean not upon thine own understanding. You hear me? We can't afford to lean on our understanding. For 20 years, I leaned on my understanding. Okay? For 20 years, I went down the path that my mind thought was the right path. Amen. For 20 years, I got into things that would make me happy and cause me to be joyful, Brother Jerry. But I want you to know, after 20 years of that, I was still miserable. Why? Because I was doing what I felt like. You hear me? I want you to just hear me tonight. For some reason, God had dealt with my heart all day about this. All day long. In the book of Psalms, the 45th chapter. It's just a scripture that I feel like God has had dealt with me today. That and I just want to read that verse 1. Just verse 1. Psalms 45:1. I read this years ago and God dealt with my heart. It says, my heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You hear me? My heart is inditing a good matter. David, right here in this portion of Psalms, is beginning to speak. David has seen some heartaches, some troubles, some sorrows. Let me go back just for a moment. We're talking about a man that was anointed king when he was just a little child. Probably the size of Mark Lowe sitting up here on the front pew. Or maybe Todd Jr. right here, TJ, sitting up here on the front pew. He was anointed king to be king over Israel when he was just a young lad. Between the ages of 11 and 14, David was when he was anointed king over Israel. Somebody said, now wait a minute, Brother Mike. How could God send Samuel down to the house of Jesse and anoint a little child that young king over Israel? Because God knows the future. You hear me? You're not thinking the way that God thinks. God said in one portion of Scripture in Isaiah, my ways are so much higher than your ways. And so much lower than what you could ever... I mean, you know, he's saying that my ways go higher than the skies. The sky is the limit to us. You heard that old saying? We can look up into the on the clouds, but we don't know what's beyond the clouds. Somebody said, well, I took an airplane and went up above the clouds, but yes, you couldn't see beyond that. You hear me? God goes farther than that. Somebody said, well, now, they went down to the depths of the sea. But listen to me, friend. There is areas and portions of the great sea that man has never been in. Why? Because they can't get down there. The pressure is so great that they can't. But can I tell you this? Job said, though I make my bed in hell, God shall be there. No matter where you're going to go or what you're going to look at or how you're going to try to discover this thing, God has already got it in control. You see, God's got a plan for your life and for my life. God already, but bro, Mike, I've messed up a lot of things and a lot of areas of my life. Has already been messed up. God's not worried. You hear me? And I made this statement the other day at a funeral. Amen. I think it was Tuesday. I preached a funeral in Pikeville, but Kentucky. But I made this statement that God already knows what's happened back there. You hear me? God already knows what's happened back there. God already saw the things that took place in your past. That's why God put that future out there for you. Because He knew that the past was not going to help you. He knew the past was not going to help me. So He put a future there that was brighter and more blessed that I could reach out and grab a hold of. Now, it's up to me to make that decision. It's up to me to take that step. It's up to me. It's kind of like, you know, I do the kids sometimes in church services and in school and Sunday school. Or maybe I'll be teaching and I say, you know, hey, I got something here. Does anybody want this? Huh? If you want it, come and get it. Huh? Somebody want this, come and get it. Does anybody want this, come and get it. You know, somebody has to make a move. Somebody has to do it. Does somebody want this, come and get it. You know, well, I guess nobody wants it. Oh, wait a minute, I got a ticker here. Huh? Yeah, right here. So right now, Sister Mary Hatfield is $1 more blessed than she was when she came to the house of God. No matter what she gave in the offering, that was a free will thing to God. She's going to go home with one more dollar than what she came with. You know what, tonight? You can go home with one more promise than what you came with tonight. You can go home with one more hope than what you came with tonight. You can go home with one more transformed life than what you came here with. And that's what David is writing. My heart is inviting a good man. David said, I'm remembering all the things that God has done for me. I'm looking back, amen, not at what I committed in sin, not at Bathsheba, not at the adulterous affair. I'm looking back at what God has done for me in my life. Not only is he saying he's looking back, but he's saying, my tongue is like the pen of a ready writer. I'm willing to tell the world. I'm willing to tell everybody out there what the Lord has done for me. I'm willing to put this thing of the plan of God that He has put into my heart. I'm willing to write it out into words. And I'm willing to expound it into words that people might know that Christ Jesus has been my personal Savior. And now is my personal Savior. Can I tell you something tonight? Listen, when you make a full and total commitment to God, everything changes around you. We've heard testimonies tonight. I was so glad to hear the testimonies because, you see, when you make a commitment to God, your life changes. The Bible said, behold, all things pass away and all things become new. Things that I once loved, I now hated. Things that I once hated, I now love. You hear me preach on it a lot? The heart, amen. My heart is different, amen. I mean, I don't look at things. I don't look at people the way I used to. I don't see things the way I used to. But we've got to guard with everything in us is this heart, amen. You see, it's despairingly wicked, amen. And it was created from the dust of the earth. And our forefather was Adam, amen, and Eve. And they sinned against God. And there is a nature of sin that lies inside of every born-again believer. But it's up to us to keep the blood of Jesus Christ applied. When David said, my heart is inviting a good matter, he said, I can go back to Calvary. I can call upon the Lord. I need God to change me and transform me and bless me all over again. You see, we got a whole lot more than what the world has to offer. You hear me? I've heard doctors say, I've done all I can do. It's up to you now, preacher. Get them saved. Get them ready to go to heaven. Dr. Stock walked out of the room here just a few months back. They called me in early in the morning and said, could you come? The man was dying. I said, sure, I'll come. I walked into Grand Hospital. Dr. Stock, he always just stood there and looked at me for a minute. He said, well, preacher, I've done all I can do. You've got your chance now. You hear me? He admitted he'd done all that he could do. Can I tell you something? I presented to that man a plan that when everything else was completed down here, he could still take it on to heaven. He could still go to a better place. But there has to be a commitment. There has to be something in writing. You say in writing, what do I got to put in writing? The blood of Jesus Christ has to be applied to your heart. Whenever the children of Israel was coming out of Egypt, after all the plagues that Pharaoh saw, nothing moved him. The Bible says that his heart grew harder and harder. But there was a plague that came that broke Pharaoh. And it was a plague that God sent that the firstborn child of every family would die if the blood wasn't applied. They took the goat or the lamb, and they took the blood from that lamb, and there was a commission made that they had to strike the blood of that lamb over the lintel, over the door facing, and down each side of the frame of that door. If God's death angel passed by that house and that blood was applied, that death angel did not enter that home, but he went on by. But if that angel come by that house and the blood was not applied, the death angel went inside and the firstborn child of that family would automatically die. Pharaoh broke when his son died. It's not just a little story that you watch on a television program. It's not just a little Bible story that mama read to you when you was a child. It's not just a fable that we made up at the nursery or the beginners or the primary class could be read to, and they could think that God was some kind of monster that he would just come through and kill the firstborn child. No, it's not that at all. What God did there, he gave each one of them a plan. And he spoke to their hearts on the thing that would keep their homes and their families and everything around them safe. What God is trying to do in this hour, when David said, my heart is indicting a good matter, David was saying, I found something far better than what I've had. I found the way of an escape for my whole family, for everything that's around me. You say, but things bad happen in David's life. They sure did. And bad things will happen in your life even after you get saved. But how much greater is it to have somebody to comfort you? And the promises of God. I told you, Sister Mary didn't leave in here $1 richer than she was when she came. Why? Because she took the challenge to step out by faith and reach out and get that dollar. I seen TJ wanted two, Mark Lowe wanted two, Gabriel wanted two, but they sat back and they lost out. It was too late. What's going to happen to a lot of folks in this hour that we're living right now? They're sitting back and hearing the gospel of God. They're sitting back hearing the challenge of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost of heaven. What's happening to a lot of people in this hour that we're living is that God is knocking at their heart's door. God's speaking to them. But yet they are going on their own pernicious ways, and they will not turn from the life that they're living. You know what they're doing? They're letting the devil touch buttons on the screen of their mind. What if? How come? How could? Why did? Where will? All these things. I thought, as an old missionary told me one time years ago, he said that a couple had came to him in a far country and began to speak to him about things. Now, Jimmy, he was really honest. He said, I just got down to the place where I couldn't answer their questions. And he said to him, well, if you can't answer our questions, how can we trust your God? And he said, all of a sudden, my mind went back to Elijah. And how that he was challenged by the prophets of Baal. And he said, after that they had cut themselves and screamed out and beat themselves and done all the things that they did to get their God to move. And he didn't move. Elijah brought in his sacrifice, cut it up and put it on the altars. Not only did he do that, but Elijah poured 12 barrels of water, soaked down the wood, soaked down the sacrifices, and the water ran in the trench around the altars. Why did he do that? Just in case somebody would have something to say. You know how folks are. You know how skeptics are in this hour. And in that hour, hour was no different. Somebody had set a flame before, or somebody had done this, or somebody had done that. But I think it was like 73 or 75 words that Elijah prayed to God in heaven. And the Bible tells me that the fire of God came down and lapped up the waters all around and consumed that offering. Elijah had told him, let the God that is God answer by fire. Can I tell you something? Our God is a consuming God. He took care of the problem. But that missionary said, I told them, if you'll come and give your heart to Christ, I can guarantee you He will work out all these situations in your life. They said, you guarantee it? He said, I guarantee it. He said, I'll tell you this, you will have problems. There will be situations that will arise, but God will take care of these things. He said, after they left, the first thing the devil did is start touching the computer screen, the screen in his mind. He said, now what if they do and God don't? Or what if and God doesn't? How will God do this? He said, I just laid my head on the altar and said, God, you are my God. And you will answer. And you will do what needs to be done. Can I tell you tonight? You don't have a challenge one in your life that God that I serve, the God that is real, is not able to touch, is not able to move upon. There's not a situation that will arise. I tell you what happens. We get confused. We start thinking. We start telling God how it ought to be instead of letting God tell us how it ought to be. When David said, my heart is indicted in a good matter, it would have been something that most of us would have said in four times. My tongue is a pen of a ready writer. Because we forget about listening to the heart a lot of times in situations in our life. You've got some areas that you need God to touch. You've got some problems that you need God to help you with. Now let me tell you something, friend. It's like somebody said today, you know, I said, with all the shooting that's going on and the things that's happening right now, I said, let's just use some good common sense. Something that a lot of times we don't even know what it is. Good common sense is only doing what sensible people need to do in situations. You hear me? I remember not too long ago something had happened. And it was a bad situation and the mama got hysterically crazy. And I grabbed her and I set her down and I said, don't move. Don't move. Don't get up from this chair. And I went over and I began to do whatever I could do for the child. You know something? You go crazy and you get hysterical, the situation gets worse. Somebody said, I don't understand why they hadn't been telling us and reporting all these things. Because they knew the situation would get worse. We'd start reacting crazy. The way we do. Sure, it bothers me. Sure, it scares me, the things that are happening in this world. But I'm not going to quit using my mind and thinking logical thoughts. Somebody said, I'm just ain't going to come out of my house. I'm not coming to church. I'm not going to go here. I'm not going to go there. How are you going to live like that? The only thing that I see that the devil is forcing God's people to do is to pray and trust God. You hear me? The only thing that I see that the enemy is forcing God's people to do is to seek the face of the Lord and to believe Him to put a protection around us. You can sit in your home and get shot. You can sit in your home and something happened there. You start going totally crazy and losing. I'm going to tell you something. You won't be able to say my heart is indicted in a good matter. The only thing I can tell you is this. If times of trouble like this stirs you, you better be ready to go, because when the rapture of the church takes place, when the catching away is in 1 Thessalonians, speaks about, I believe it's the 4th chapter, speaks about those that are left behind are going to be so chaotic and so tore up. If this has got you tore up, what are you going to do when they're hunting you down like a dog, like an animal? What are you going to do when you have children that are dying and you can't feed them? Come on now. You say, Brother Mike, do you actually believe that there'll be childbearing in that time? I sure do. Woe be unto them that give suck in that day. Come on now. I actually believe that there's going to be children born after the rapture of the church takes place. And Mama, Daddy, let me tell you something. If you can't have faith in God now, how are you going to trust God then? Oh yes, we need to use common sense. We need to do sensible and logical things. But one thing we need to remember is this. Jesus said, when I return to this earth, will I find faith? Is He going to find faith in you today? Are you going to take that challenge that God has given you in your life? It'd be a shame to come down to it all and to lose out and not know Christ as your personal Savior. Sister Diane Kazee said, I was always taught that I could pray at home, and anybody can do that. But I'm going to tell you something. David said in the book of Psalms, in the 45th chapter, first verse, my heart is inditing a good matter. He said, I speak of the things which I have made touching the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You're going to have to make an open confession of faith somewhere. Jesus said, if you be ashamed of me in this life, I'll be ashamed of you before my Heavenly Father and His holy angels. I'm satisfied to believe this tonight, that there is good people that come to the house of God. But I'm satisfied to believe this, that there is people that will not make it in the rapture of the church. For the fact of the matter is this, that they have never made that confession. They've never stepped forward and said, I accept Christ as my personal Savior. They've never been baptized. Somebody said, you believe you have to be baptized? Absolutely, if you've had the opportunity. If you've had the opportunity. One man said, what about the thief that hang on the cross? That man did not have an opportunity to do anything but call upon the name of the Lord. Mother, we've got to take that confession and make it a commitment. And after that commitment, we've got to make it a continual walk every day of our lives. When we begin to get slack in that, we've got to find ourselves back at the foot of Calvary. We've got to find ourselves back calling upon the name of the Lord. Brother Royce Roy said after about 7 months of those folks in Africa calling upon the name of the Lord and God coming by and touching and meeting needs that they had, one night the little old fella jumped up. He jumped up on a chair and began to scream out, our God is a great God. Our God is a great God. Can I tell you, church, you cannot look around and see what God has done for you and your family and your life unless you want to scream out, our God is a great God. You hear me? You've got to want to scream it out. Because if you know God and God knows you, and it's on a personal basis, you're not ashamed to tell the world all about Him. Tonight, as we stand all over the building, a total commitment is what we're talking about tonight. A total commitment to God. A total commitment to Christ. A total commitment to doing the will of the Lord in our lives. A total commitment to believing Him and trusting Him. Brother Mike, I got situations when I leave here that there's no way that I could ask Christ to come into my heart. You've got situations that when you leave here, you need Christ to be in your heart. You hear me? You need Him to be right in the midst of your heart. You need to call upon Him. It's not by coincidence or sheer mistake that you're here tonight. It's by the solemn hand of God that God has brought you to a place in your life that He has now given you a challenge. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to push it aside and say, I've got to go on my own way? Or are you going to take that challenge and say, Lord, I want You to come in and help me and touch me? There'll be a lot of time to learn. There'll be a lot of time to express. There'll be a lot of time to release what the heart is saying. But right now, there's a challenge being given to you from God the Father. What's it going to be tonight? Where are you going to stand whenever God opens up that judgment door? What's going to take place in your life? As we open up these altars tonight, I'm asking you, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, I'm asking you to take this step of faith to come down to this altar. Maybe things ain't been right. Maybe there's been some areas that just has been so chaotic in your life that you need God to help you with. I'm asking you to take that step of faith tonight. To come down to these altars and to say, Lord, be merciful to me. I need Your touch. I need Your help. I need Your strength. God, I need You to help me and to take in my life the part that I can take that challenge, Lord. How about it, friend? How about it tonight? Come on. Come on. God, I love You tonight.
Oh, and I promise You I'd understand.
Thank You, Jesus.
If for me You have no time. I'm too unworthy, Lord, to come to You. Could You please come down to me? Well, I guess I must be reaping all the seeds I have sown. Lord, I know You owe me nothing. We haven't spoken for so long. But if You could spare some mercy, I'll pledge my life to Thee. I'm too unworthy, Lord, to come to You. Could You please come down to me? Well, I know that there are others who can offer more than I. And I promise You I'd understand if for me You have no time. Well, I think I just hit bottom. Get up to see. I'm too unworthy, Lord, to come here. Could you please come down to me? And Lord, I know that there are others who could offer more than I. And I promise you I'd understand if for me you have no time. Well, I think I just hit bottom, and I'm looking up to sing. I'm too unworthy, Lord, to come here. Could you please come down?